Good morning.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Hi, everyone.
Hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Sorry. Good morning, Anna. How are you? We missed you in DNP Unlocked.
I know. I'm sorry for my absence. I've been very busy, as you know, from a season. But now I'm back and I'm so happy to be here. Good morning, all. How have you been?
Doing good so far. As always, busy with work, but we always have time for DNP Unlocked, Anna.
And as you can notice, we meet our dear friend Pei over here. He's not leaving us.
She's on vacation.
Exploring right. Somewhere down in Alaska, having fun. We meet Pei.
Okay. We have a follower who's with us today. Scrub Streetwear says, good morning, doctor. Good evening, Dr. Nurse Paul. Are you in the Philippines? Hello, hello.
Okay. So while we're saying hello to everyone, I will share our webinar for today. Wow, DMP Unlocked season, episode 41. I'm sorry, 41 already? What for Nurse Paul? How could it happen?
I don't know, but we're still here.
Are we about to almost celebrate our first year? Or
yeah, we are. I think we're celebrating our first year next month, ain't it? Right? We've been on air, Anna. We've been on air for 1 year every Sunday, right? That's pretty good. But you know, we love what we're doing here in DNP Unlocked, guys. We love providing information for you that is a great resource for immigrant nurses. And of course, our past episodes, Anna, are available in Facebook and YouTube. And we also have this in podcast. DNP Unlocked, your immigrant nursing podcast, best resource for immigrant nursing life, is available in, Apple and Spotify podcasts. But you can also see it in YouTube, Amazon Music, Google, and Samsung, I think. So every podcast channel, we are streaming our podcast. So please download this, share it to your friends. If you are already here in the U.S., we've shared some valuable insights for your first few years in the U.S. Yeah. If you are coming to the U.S. in the future, you might want to start listening to DNP Unlocked so you know what you're going to face coming over here and what you need to prepare going to the U.S. And of course, if you've been here for years, we would love to invite you to share your stories here in DNP Unlocked. Again, Anna, thank you for being with DNP Unlocked and sharing all your expertise with us.
Oh, like what you said, we're almost going to celebrate our first year in spite of our busy schedule with war, life, you know. I think the one common goal that we shared between you and me and Clay is our advocacy, not just for Filipino nurses, but all future immigrant nurses. And please, you know, if you want to listen again, learn again, if you forgot about retrogression or all about IRS, you can always go back by listening on our podcast in Spotify and Apple and YouTube. I still listen back to our past episode, and it made me laugh.
In all fairness, Anna, I also listened to our past shows, and even then, you know, we've shared so much information that I'm like, well, I'm learning new things again from these things that we've talked about, because you know, it's been 40 long episodes that we've done, ranging from 1 hour to 2 hours. So there's definitely tons of information. We've invited different guests, all right, experts in the field that have actually shared their expertise. So if I were you guys, tell your friends about it. Share DNP Unlocked, great resource for our immigrant nursing community. And I mean, Anna, we did this because, you know, we were immigrants here too, right? You've been here longer than me. We wish that during our time we have something like this so we can look up to or listen to guide us through our immigrant nursing process or our nursing life or career. But we didn't have much information before. That's why we created Facebook groups, Facebook pages, And now we have the DNP Unlocked and all our different Facebook pages to serve our community. But DNP Unlocked is actually such a valuable resource. Mm-hmm. I also learned a lot from our invited guests and from each mm-hmm. one of us. So I would encourage everyone to download DNP Unlocked.
Oh, yes. And our nurse poll, if you notice, we receive a lot of comments, you know, that DNP Unlocked helped them. I don't know if you were aware of it, but one yep. of our app episode about nursing remote work, mm-hmm. right? I think Marie Pepper reached out to me. There's so many enrollees right now. We also got episode. Like, we opened a lot of opportunities. And in relation to that, for our episode 41, I think a lot of people are talking about this silently. Some people mm-hmm. are very open about it. Our topic for today is all about burnout. Oh my God.
Right.
And
episode 41.
Mm-hmm.
41. We're going to talk about burnout and compassion.
I can't believe it's 41. I have to remind myself, we are in 41. Wow.
Right.
Month of August, second week of Sunday, everyone. I know you feel this too, especially those who have been in the U.S., who have been working wherever you are, be in the U.S., in Philippines, or whatever country you're from. You know this. You felt this, but you ignored it. And no matter what kind of health or worker you are, everyone is experiencing this at some point of their life. So please stay tuned to learn, to acknowledge, and realize, oh my God, that's why I'm not happy anymore. That's why I lose the compassion. So Correct. Are you excited? I'm so excited. We're going to learn a lot of things from my perspective as a nurse and the corner school as an MP also, as a traveler nurse before, as an ER. So welcome, everyone. Please keep sharing, you know, share the knowledge, tell the wealth, you know. A lot of people must learn about acknowledging your burnout and episode of your life. So, Dr. Nerspol, are you ready for today's topic?
I am definitely ready. I want to talk about this because this is something that mm-hmm. is close to my heart as well and something I've experienced as a nurse,
mm-hmm.
especially during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, especially during the pandemic.
It made burnout even worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is nurse burnout? What is compassion fatigue? I mean, when I was in the Philippines, I worked for 12 years. I bet you've been working for a long time too. And at some point in your career as a healthcare worker, you experience this, but you don't know what it's called. You don't know. Like, how about you, Dr. Nerspol? When did you find out about the word burnout or compassion fatigue? Were you aware of that before when you were in the Philippines or when you're here?
I'm pretty much aware of the word burnout. You know, healthcare industry inherently, Anna, is a high burnout industry because, mm-hmm. you know, we're providing care. So we're providing our, you know, services and at an interpersonal level to our patients, to our families, to our coworkers. So that's pretty hard on top of things that you're already doing, right? You can only do so much because, you know, many things could affect your job satisfaction. And part of it is, you know, burnout for me is a big thing. So I've always known about this, especially coming into nursing. But compassion fatigue is not something that I've heard until the pandemic, you know? Mm-hmm. As I was working through the pandemic and listening to these podcasts and joining shows and all that, there's lots of talks online about nurses quitting, you know, like nurses mm-hmm. not feeling that they are cared for enough by the industry, by the stakeholders. And of course, there are also, you know, job issues such as workplace environment issues, abuse of nurses, and all that. So you commonly hear the word here in compassion fatigue. One thing that I was not aware about before coming to the U.S. This is the first time I've heard it when I went here to the U.S. But mm-hmm. I definitely feel it. As soon as I learned what the word was, I was like, that explains what I actually feel. You know, at one point I wanted to quit nursing because I was just fatigued, you know, like during travel nursing, Anna, I would take breaks in between, right? In between contracts, because I was fatigued, right? If there was no fatigue, I can go work and work and work and work. But nursing is such a high burnout industry. I don't think we're talking about it enough in our immigrant nursing community, especially for us Filipinos, Anna. We were taught to be resilient, right? Now, resilient is twofold. You can be positively resilient. You have to push through, you know, challenges and things like that. But also, sometimes resilience give you a wrong connotation where even if it's already toxic and it's draining you mentally, you are taught to push through it.
Yeah.
Suck it up, right?
Yeah.
That's how they say it here colloquially. But I think that's totally wrong because we're missing the mental health part. And it's really, really extremely hard. All nurses here that are working all around the world could relate to me when I say it's really, really hard to provide care to patients and even to yourself when you're not mentally there, when you're not in the mental, you know, when you're not at a mental state, your ability to provide care, your ability to provide healing to patients and yourself is affected. You know what I mean? So that's where burnout for me and compassion fatigue comes in. And I think we really need to talk about this because it's not being talked enough in our immigrant nursing community.
Yeah, you mentioned it was not being talked about in our immigration as an immigrant nurse because our culture plays a big role or part of our resiliency to war. I grew up, watching my parents, they work to get, even if we're not feeling well, my mom has an asthma, and I've seen her never call out, like, she's still working. So in my mind, when I was growing up, oh, that's the noble thing to do, even if you're not feeling well, emotionally, physically, or mentally, you still have to show up. So culture and tradition plays a big part of being a nurse and also acknowledging this burnout and compassion fatigue. So we spoke about that. Now, our nurse Paul, I would like to ask, what do you think is are the causes of nurse burnout? I mean, there are so many reasons, or there are so many causes why you as a nurse, how long have you been a nurse? What are nurse called? I hope
17 years.
Okay, now you really made me feel older.
And now you, Anna.
20 years. 20 years.
Ooh.
I think, hey, you've been a nurse for 18 years. Okay, yep, I won.
Longest nurse so far in the Epian Lock.
Oh my longest God. Serving yes. And I'm proud of it.
I want to define first, I researched about published literatures about nurse fatigue and burnout. I found this from American Nurses Association from the online journal of nursing or in nursing. This was published by Dr. Lackman, Vicky Lackman in 2016. All right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it still rings true today. She defined burnout as a prolonged response to chronic emotional and interpersonal stressors on the job, leading to a combination of physical and emotional exhaustion involving the development of a negative job attitude, negative self-concept, and loss of feelings and concern for people. And compassion fatigue is a state of significant depletion or exhaustion of the nurse's store of compassion, resulting from repeated activation over time of empathic and sympathetic responses to pain and distress in patients and in loved ones. So I think both are very important concepts, right? And we really need to have a definition for these things because sometimes it's subjective. Am I feeling burnout already? Like I'm getting upset with my job? Is this compassion fatigue already? Because I don't feel empathy or sympathy for my patients anymore. You know, nurses sometimes, especially in the ER, we commonly joke about, we don't have emotions anymore. We feel, you know, we feel detached. Like patients would be screaming at us, or patients would be rude at us, and we're just poker face and all that. It, like, sometimes you have this feeling where I'm used to it, but yeah, you really can never get used to abuse. You really can never get used to dissatisfaction with your job, right? I went to a point, Anna, that I go to work, I start the day feeling awful already. I haven't even met my patients. I haven't received a report from other nurses, but feeling awful already and looking at my purpose. Is this what I'm, you know, what I'm going to do? Because it's such a high acuity hospital, high acuity ER, lots of psychiatric patients, lots of patients that are disrespectful to nurses. Some of my coworkers got assaulted. So I was like, I'm just one assault away, you know, like somebody could hurt me anytime.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very rough job. So I was thinking about it and I was contemplating, is this really what I wanted to do for the rest of my life until I retire? Right. So those things are like my like defining moment. I want to know what this is, you know. I cannot be a nurse and not feel like I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. I cannot be a nurse and then hating my job every time. I cannot be there just to earn paycheck and earn more money from overtimes, but really not being there presently and physically for my patients. I'm not even, I feel like I'm not advocating enough for them because I don't have empathy anymore, right? So, and that's how I learned about compassion fatigue.
Wow. The definition that you read from American Nurses Association, like chronic, long term, meaning it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it accumulated years of experience, of working, of experiencing this. So, and I don't think that for nurses, that we can define nurse burnout compassion fatigue in one word.
Correct. Because
there are so many things that comes for it easily, emotionally, and mentally, and sometimes also spiritually. And like what you mentioned, some of the causes of the burnout as you define it. And as we all know, different countries, third world countries, have a different level or causes of nurse burnout. I think no matter what country you're from, the number one cause of nurse burnout is high workload, long shift. You know, patient ratio, even in the US or in the Philippines or whatever country, there are always in need and shortage of healthcare workers, not just nurses. And emotional strain, you know, aside from being exposed for your own personal trauma at home or when you were younger, you're also exposed to trauma at work, like what you said, through especially those who are working in the ER. You know, I read a journal one time. I can't remember exactly, but what I read from a mental nurses organization that most of the people, those who work in the ER, like you, and those who work in the ICU, both areas with the highest acuity of level of care are, you know, they have the highest percentage of me experience burnout. And I can't blame you, like what you said, you are one step prone to being assaulted physically and verbally in the ER. I remember when we had our topic about job, you know, violence at workplace. ER one.
Right. And that's the truth. I worked in the ER. So whenever I see my peers here in the States, Marvin is one of them. I admire them, you know, because I left ER 2 years ago. I'm sorry, Anna, but sorry about the seasonal allergies.
Bless you. It's the season.
I haven't taken my Flonase this morning. Anyway.
What happened when you're live? We are live. And we are real.
Well, maybe we can cut it off. But sorry about that. So I had a little sneezing moment there. But Anna, it's really hard. I love ER. I would still want to go back, you know. Sometimes I'm like tempted to do a PR and job in the ear just so, you know, I can be back in action. I do miss being an ER nurse. I do miss, you know, finding out what's going on with patients from arriving for abdominal pain to actually finding out what they have. I like that part. You know, I like the talking patients into it, like making sure that they're properly cared for it, with the ideal world. But then there are things that are pulling me back too, like, oh my God, I don't want to have to feel the toxicity, you know, like, but compassion fatigue is real. This is something that we don't want nurses to really be experiencing, because if our nurses lose their compassion, if our nurses are all burnt out, can you imagine the quality of care? And you know, Anna, I was just checking in American Nurses Association literature. According to the literature, the burnt out rate based on American Nurses Association's survey in 2020 is about 62% of nurses. Two-thirds of nurses have compassion fatigue and burnout. It's especially common among younger nurses. You know, our younger nurses are our future generation. Anna, we're close to, or probably two-thirds of the journey to retirement. What about the future nurses? Do they still want to be nurses after they've seen what's happening to us? Or are we doing something to pave the way for future nurses to not have to go through to this level of mental exhaustion, psychosocial exhaustion, right? We don't have a full data of how many nurses are going through PTSD, anxiety, depressions, and are taking medications. And we don't have a correlation if it's even related to the job. But I suspect that it is, you know, because I honestly felt like, you know, I went to psychotherapy, and I didn't realize I had PTSD until after pandemic. And probably it's also the trigger. One of the triggers was PTSD because I was abused as a child. So I thought before I was already over it. I thought it was nothing, you know, like I totally forgot about it already until there was a trigger. And all it takes is one trigger, and I had to go through all psychotherapy and meds and all that. But I think one of the triggers was the pandemic as well. Imagine waking up at night sweating and remembering your patient that got intubated and died after several hours, and then multiply that to several more
all
patients in a day, in a month, and on top of the fatigue already of being a nurse. And there's so many issues with nursing too inherently. So it is very real. I think we have to talk about it. You know, like, nobody's talking about it a lot. We always glorify nursing as something that, you know, we need to be selfless, you know?
Noble profession.
We can see how nurses are behaving in social media too. Some of them are very petty. Yeah. Some of them are very unprofessional. And I'm thinking, these are nurses. Like, and, you know, like, how they're... something like that.
Well,
do you think are the causes? You've asked me earlier, but I didn't really answer the question.
The causes, well, you mentioned that apparently when you were defining the burnout, but what I said earlier, you know, number one, cause of the burnout that we are experiencing at one point in your life is the high workload, long shifts, like 8 hours, 12, sometimes 16 hours. When I was in the Philippines, I experienced work 22 hours. And emotional strain as trauma for your family, your personal life, or trauma when you were in a nursing school and when you are now working, you know, it will always come back. Like what Dr. Nurse all said, only one trigger and then it will come back to you. Empathy overload. Have you heard about this? Empathy overload. Meaning you're constantly providing emotional support for your patients and your family, that, you know, and then at the end, us as a nurse, we run out of our own emotional compassion because we've been providing this for the patient and for the family. And causes of burnout, another thing would be work-life balance. You are so tired to go out, to have life, to enjoy life. of your 12-hour long shift, 8 hours rub in. And I think no matter what country you're from, another cause of nurse burnout is inadequate compensation. Like we've been talking about, healthcare workers, like the nurses, we are not being paid enough. Do you agree with that with me? We are not getting paid enough with all of the hard work. That's why our compassion, we're getting fatigue, we're getting burnout. And lack of autonomy, limited decision making. These are the causes of burnout and loss of compassion. For all, I just want to say hi to Miss Marie Peppers, who is now in the comment section. James Cruz from Saudi Arabia, and we have someone, Ray Bella Robles from Alberta, Canada. Can you share your burnout where are you from? Like, because in the U.S., the nurse old men from 2 years of nurse, younger nurses now are experiencing this burnout. So, how about you for all? Did I miss something about the process? Whatever things that might cause, you know, being a nurse burnout.
For me, what added to my personal experience is you're right with the support and pay and all that. Mm-hmm. For me, it's also the workplace environment. Sometimes I say this because I've worked in different hospitals. There are hospitals that I want to stay at, but there are also hospitals I will not return to, right?
Never go back, right?
Yeah. Why? It's not a job. I always say this. Everywhere I work, somebody told me, if you move jobs, will it be better? I was like, probably in certain aspects, but are you talking to me about job-wise? The job is the same everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There will be very sick patients. That's what I signed up for, right? There will be codes. There will be traumas. There will be psych patients. There will be OE patients. That's what I signed up for. That's inherent to ER. Will there be patients screaming at me? Yes. Will there be patients be respectful at me? Yes. But you know, Anna, one of the factors why I don't like going to job is the workplace. Sometimes,
yeah,
the workplace is just toxic. It's brutal. Sure. It's harsh, right? I don't feel safe. Some of the coworkers are not being a nurse. You know, like I'm just here to work. You know, like I'm 37. Like I'm not here to play. You know, I'm not 20 or 21. I've been in the industry for a bit. I'm here to work. So sometimes I'm like, you know, please spare me the drama. All right, please don't involve me in things like this. You all are my friends, but I'm not here to make best friends. All right, I'm not here looking for a best friend. I'm here to work for my patients. I'm here for you guys as a team player. But I don't like the work politics. And I feel like that's causing me a lot of fatigue. That's causing me a lot of burnout. Like, I don't want to come back here. There's so much, you know, politics. Like, some people are getting more favors. Some people are don't. Yep. If I get favors, I feel bad for my other coworkers that don't get favors because there should be nothing like that, something like that. But then there's also nurses that likes to fight. I don't know. Are you guys burnt out? Are you guys fatigued? Maybe you shouldn't be getting a lot of overtimes. Maybe work 3 days a week only and not 5 days a week, right? Because I think you become a monster after several days consecutive working. And I tried that before. I even have a joke that after the start of my work, I was charge nurse in the ER. This is my 7th day, guys. Okay, please be nice a little to me because it's my 7th day. I always say, on my 7th day, I become a monster or something like that. But that's a joke. I don't necessarily become a toxic coworker. But the point is, I've seen that to a lot of nurses. Like, hey, dude, nobody told you to work this much, right? But you did. But you know, you're burnt out. But I think as nurses, we don't want to hear the word burnt out because we want to keep working, right? It's money. It's to pay our bills, to pay for our luxuries or what we want. Mm-hmm. But also, that's the only job that we know. We're stuck in this cycle where what else could we do, right? Mm-hmm. We were trained to be a nurse, so might as well be a nurse. But then how do you work like that? So for me, workplace is a huge factor. When I travel nurse, my first 4 weeks is not only them assessing me. I'm also there assessing them. And then I know how I, you know, am I going to be low profile?
Renewing?
You know? Yeah, just making sure that I do my job well so I don't get involved with the politics. Or will I be here for a bit? Will I renew contract? Because I just love my coworkers, even if it's a rough day. I feel like I'm supported, you know? Like I could take mental day off and say, you know, I can't work this day. Can I move it? Because I need a mental day off. I need to be, you know, when I was in Hawaii, I love my charge nurses and all that because I was like, you know, I don't think I can do three consecutive days because I want 2 or 1 day and then off in between so I can climb and hike and be in the beach and then recuperate and then go back. You know what I mean? Certain flexibilities like that, you know? And I would love to go back to that job because I feel like I'm supported. They understand what mental health means. They understand that for us to be efficient ER nurses, for us to have a working harmonious relationship at work where all of us are, you know, at least satisfied with our jobs, is for us to be not burnt out. And they would honestly, one time I picked up a fifth shift, right? The clinical manager is like, are you okay? Because I was getting fired up a little. You know, sometimes jobs can get into your head, right? And just like, I think we're not going to do extra shifts next week. I was like, I think so too. I think I need a break, right? But she was very good to, you know, to determine that I was experiencing burnout right at that week. But we need to be able to determine that as well as nurses. I don't know what burnout looks like in other units, but I do know when a nurse is burnt out, you know? Like, the way they talk to you, especially when giving reports, I give reports to every nurse in the hospital. So I know which nurse in L&D and med-surg and OR are burnt out. You know, when I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to give a report to this nurse. I think she's burnt out already. Something like that.
Earlier about experience of agro area, right? Actually, no, I work in the OR. Then I felt that I was burned out at one point. Yes, even if I only have one patient or client one at a time, yes. I got burned out with micromanagement. You know, Anna, your patient is late. It could be 7:30 a.m. You could be in the room. And micromanaging with the, you know, you have so many bosses when you work in the OR. It's a close case. It's a one-on-one client or patient. But you're gonna work in surgeon. I wanna go first. You wanna work? You're going to work with anesthesiologist. No, you need the clearance. You're going to work with the scrub tech. I am not scrubbing, like I am male, not today. And you're going to work with a resident, with a vendor, or with a rep. So these people sometimes. That's my experience. That's my burnout from them managing all of these people. Not directly from the patient. Because the patient, they're intubated, you know? So that's my fear, the partners, when you ask about burnout in other area. So that's why I work nights now. There's not a lot of people.
Less politics, less people, right? But it's hard because you gotta find ways yourself of how to reduce your burnout personally. But the system itself is not really offering support as far as burnout. Yeah, we know burnout. We define burnout. Yeah, we gave you guys causes and symptoms and signs and what to do. But yeah, we're all stuck in the same situation, kind of like that. Like, I feel like we should be talking about it more. We should be teaching nurses to be able to determine.
When you're in a nursing school, it could be incorporated in a curriculum.
Yeah. Be able to determine what is burnout for them, you know, because I feel like a lot of nurses are coming to a point where there's no point of return at one point where, like I said earlier, like I feel like some nurses have become stone cold, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care anymore, you know what I mean? That's the worst thing that I think I will have to hear from a nurse. And I experienced that at one point. Like, you know, when patients tell me this or coworkers tell me this, back in my mind, I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm just here to do my job. If I'm if I'm ordered to give a medication, I'll give medication. Do they have other concerns? That's above my paycheck. You know, that's above my paycheck. I don't care anymore. That's not my job. It's not mine. For me, those are hard sides for me that I don't think I'm enjoying this job. Maybe this job is not for me. Maybe this hospital is not for me. Maybe I need to take a step back so I can come back stronger. I have that ability because I was travel nursing. But what about our full-time peers, right? This is what one of our viewers have shared. Lennon, thank you for sharing this. Yeah. I like what you said here. Sad fact is that you can identify burnout, but unless the other person recognizes that, it's only time, that's the only time that you can help them. You can't help people who don't want to help themselves. And I agree with this, you know, even if I feel like one of my coworkers, or I was precepting nurses, baby nurses, and I feel like in their first year, they're already burnt out. You know, if they are not able to identify that themselves, right, and they don't want to seek help for that, I'm not going to be able to help them, right? Because they're adults too. They are capable of making their decisions. Maybe I can offer some support and say, hey, I think you need a breather. You know, hey, I think you need to take a step back for a minute. Why don't you enjoy your PTOs? You know, there's one nurse who likes to work and work and work and work, doesn't want to take PTO. And I shared to him, he's one of my friends, very good nurse, but it went to a point where he's becoming feisty already. It was changing him, right? And he's been a nurse for only 5 years. And I shared to him pictures of my travel. And I said, you know, the benefits of traveling, you take your head off from work and you can come back much stronger, right?
Because happier.
Happier because you just did something that made you happy. It could be just sitting in the park or walking, climbing or all that. You
concerts. Don't have to be
physical. Concerts like Anna, right? But... you know, after that, it took PTOs, finally. And he came back. It was much happier. I was like, well, thank you for taking PTOs because you're doing it for yourself. Because the PTOs are actually there to give you a pause, a break, because it's brutal, right? Mary Peppers, thank you, Mary, by the way, for being our guest speaker in remote nursing. It's in our podcast. Listen to that. Mary Peppers is such a gem in remote nursing world. Nurses, you don't always have to work at the bedside. There are so many jobs for nurses. That includes remote nursing. Work from home. But see what Mary shared. When I worked in the hospital, my nurse managers constantly asked me to do extra shifts. And this is true. It's still happening right now. As I left the ER, I still hear my friends are asking me to work extra shifts. You know, it made me feel like I could not refuse. What a mistake. Not standing up and telling her I needed some days off. There was one time I worked 7 12-hour shifts in a row.
Wow.
I agree with Mary Peppers. It's high time that, you know, we should never, they should never make us feel like saying no to an extra shift is such a bad thing, because that's how you create nurses with compassion fatigue and burnout. Do I want to be leading nurses that are all burnt out? I definitely don't. Anna, at one point I looked at my coworkers and I told them, when I'm their age, I don't want to be a nurse like that. You know what I mean? There are coworkers that I'm like, I'm much younger than you, but I'm not that young. But I'm also,
I have a 70-year-old workmate, and I think he needs to go.
I was like, when I'm 60, like this nurse, I don't want to be nursing. Because if I'm going to be like her or him, then I don't want to be nurse at this point, at that point, right? And I even said to one kuya or older brother, that's how we say in the Philippines, right? Kuya, I think you need to retire, enjoy your retirement. I said it in a joking way because I don't want to be, you know, but it was I don't want to offend kuya, you know, in the Philippines you cannot talk to an older person like that, but I really said that because I feel like I care for him, but like Lenin said earlier, you cannot really tell people what to do, because at the end of the day they will have to stand up for themselves. But how do they do that if they can't even determine if they're fatigued or they're burnt out already?
And it's sad. As a nurse, we know the nursing process. We know the assessment. We know the diagnosis. But we ignore it for ourselves. So those are the causes of nurse burnout. The partners all shared a lot of great things about it. But the partners fault. When did you notice, I think these are the signs and symptoms of, you know, when did you diagnose yourself that you are experiencing nerve burnout and a loss of compassion? Like if we're a big sign in symptoms waiting, hey, you're experiencing this.
Yeah. For me, it's when, like I said earlier, when I was dreading to go to work, and when I was at work, I'm like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. You know, we see this too normally in nurses. And my coworkers have seen it too normally, that I've seen a lot of them doing that, that I thought it was normal. But then I, in retrospect, checked on myself, I reassessed myself, and I was like, why am I saying that? You know, like, why am I saying I don't care? Like, why do I dread going to work when that's the only job that I do? You know what I mean? That I was trained to do that. Like, that part where I say, I don't care anymore. It's above my paycheck. That's not my job. That's not mine. You know, like, oh, talk to the manager, not me. Oh, you complain to the manager, not me. Or, you know what? I'm just here for work. You know what I mean? Those, for me, are hard signs that, oh my God, I think I'm already fatigued. I'm already having burnt out. I'm not enjoying it. I think I need to take a step back. That's why my friends are always like, you're always on a trip. I was like, yeah, because that's the only way for me to like stay longer in this career, right? Because it's mentally draining. And when I go on a trip, when I'm on long offs, because before I did 7 days, seven days on, 7 days off, I'm not in the city because I'm not there. I don't want to remember the work. You know, I want to be somewhere else where I can take my mind off the job because I was so fatigued and burnt out. But other symptoms, Anna, are, this is according to American Nurses Association Nursing Resource Hub about burnout. You feel constantly overworked. You feel tired to go to work. You don't look forward to your job. I think I've just mentioned all of them. You feel unappreciated, right? Or wow, I think they were talking about my personal experience. I'm just kidding. All of us can relate to this because we've experienced this. You feel constantly overworked, regularly feel too tired. You don't look forward to your job, and you feel unappreciated. I think those four things summarized what I just said. But what about you, Anna?
Well, you mentioned first the emotional symptoms. You're irritable, you're experiencing depression, anxiety. With me, it started when I had physical symptoms, where I'm always having a headache, muscle tension, like I've been popping Tylenol the moment I wake up. And I was like, why am I happening? What? Especially when I know that a certain nerve will become a charged nerve. Like what you said, you just woke up and you're not happy anymore.
Right.
So it's often from headache, muscle tension, you know, and when I've been getting sick a lot, that's why I resigned for that first festival. And I also experienced cognitive symptoms, like why it's taking me a while to process the information. Like, I feel like I'm stupid, and I don't kind of comprehend, you know, and then negative thinking, like, oh my God, I forgot this will happen, and this is making challenges, like, should I raise the concern to the surgeon or an anesthesiologist? Meaning, it's a ripple effect on me emotionally, physically, cognitive, and behavioral. Like, those are the signs and symptoms at one point that I experienced, especially during when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, 2019, and then she passed away. Those months are terrible, was brutal, and I believe that pre-pandemic, if some of you might experience post-pandemic, but with me, it started before the pandemic, because of emotional, you know, or because my mom had cancer and all of this. Like, I was not happy anymore. My mind, like, half of it is in the Philippines, half of it in the war. And then, you know, it's a ripple effect. You cannot really choose one sign and symptoms. And, like what we said earlier, it took us a while to acknowledge, accept that there's something wrong. Like, this is not me. I love OR. OR is the only thing that I love doing, but during those times, I don't want to wake up even anymore. So please, nurses, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to come back, if you know someone who are experiencing this, do not ignore them. I know as a healthcare worker, we are the worst patient. But when it comes to your mental health, please do not ignore it. And you know, my friend here, the owner of all, I commend him because he's always very honest with struggles or sacrifices. And he always tells me, Anna, you need therapy. I was like, yes, I need counseling.
Yeah, true, true.
So, like what the owner told, you have to do something about it. Do not ignore it. And these are the signs and symptoms. How about our audience, both in the comment section?
Yeah, share your experience, guys. What do you think are the signs and symptoms of nurse burnout? But I want to read from this, the research that I've mentioned earlier from article from Dr. Wackman in 2016. She actually provided physical, emotional, or mental and workplace performance signs and symptoms. Right? For physical, you've actually shared this. And this is based on literature, okay? This is a studied or observed. Right, stomach pains, headaches, weight gain, weight loss, accident proneness, exhaustion, muscle tension, insomnia, fatigue, GI upsets. For emotional, loss of empathy, emotionally overwhelmed, breakdown, depersonalization, difficulty concentration, intrusive thoughts, irritability, emotional exhaustion, sadness, apathy, cynicism, oversensitivity, frustration, anxiety, blaming, being judgmental, mood swings, apathy. Remember, I've mentioned that I feel like I was so detached.
Yeah,
detached.
You don't care anymore.
Depression, irritability. Yep. These are actually science based on studies. And here, this is my favorite. I didn't realize this until now. Workplace performance also may indicate compassion fatigue or burnout. See, increased loss of work days due to physical complaints, reduced performance, poor judgment, lack of appropriate documentation of patient's best interests not readily apparent in nursing care, increased use of sick days, decreased productivity, decreased efficiency, job dissatisfaction, increased errors, avoidance or dread of working with certain patients, high turnover, choosing to leave nursing profession, errors, patient dissatisfaction, decreased quality of care. There are so many, right?
Many,
like,
yes.
If you think about it, the many things that we're experiencing in general as a nurse, right? This decreased job dissatisfaction, patient dissatisfaction, low quality of care, errors, malpractice are actually related to burnout and fatigue. And I've always said this to my students, right, in NCLEX, and also to my preceptees when I was doing preceptorship as an ER nurse, right? Do not, when you're preparing meds, this is where more likely you're going to make a mistake. When you're preparing meds, pushing meds, make sure you're focused, all right? Do not get distracted. Do not get this, this, and that. The thing is, you're more likely to make a mistake when you're not focused, when you're upset, when patient's upset, right? When someone's talking to you, when you're not satisfied with your job, when you hate your job while you're doing it, you're more likely to bypass something, right? And make a mistake. So, and it's
in a hurry.
Errors, right? Negligence are also related to being fatigued, right? So be careful, nurses, all right? Because you can lose your license as well for making mistakes. And it's probably because the root cause is you're burnt out or fatigued from the job.
True. I agree with all of that. Like, those emissions from literature are on point, you know. And let me share what James said. Well, basically, if you feel deep breath, help me. You might have to have deep breath. So, well, basically, if you feel you're having frequent anxiety and depression and headaches and so on, so as difficulty in stop processing and followed by super sabal moments. Yes, we all have that super sabal moments. Then it's high likely to be burnout. But nurses have different ways to cope up. Yes, J-Proof, like what we mentioned earlier, part of, especially with the immigrant nurses like you and me and most of us, part of dealing, acknowledging, your experience and burnout is our culture. We were raised to be strong, to be resilient. We were raised to, you know, you can do it. I am a man. It's okay. It will overcome. And still we ignore this and go to get used to it. So I think we know what's wrong, but we don't want to acknowledge it because we feel guilty about it. Because in our hearts and our minds, that nursing is a noble profession, that we are licensed, right? So those are the signs and symptoms. However, there are ways, you know, there are effects, rather, there are, it's a ripple effect of nurse burnout. It's not just for the nurse. Like what I said, the effects of burnout are, you know, it's not just you as a nurse. Your patient can also be affected, the whole healthcare system. So, as a nurse, how about you, Dr. Nurse Paul? What's the effects of being, of losing your compassion, of having a compassion at the end of your burnout personally as a nurse?
I mean, for me overall, it made me low quality nurse. So that also affected me. I'm that person where if you give me a job, I will either do it well or not do it and quit. Right. So there's no gray area for me. Like either I'm excellent with my job or I'm out. That's for me because I'm dedicated to what I'm doing. The last thing that I want is be told that I'm not doing good enough with my job. And that frustrates me. If I'm performing at the lowest level, minimum level that is required for me, you know what I mean? Like, which means just so you can get by, that frustrates me. And that for me is one indication that I'm burnt out and, you know, I have to do something about it. But that's it. Right? If I can summarize it in one word, is if I'm not performing well and I'm giving out low quality nursing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And you know yourself, you know you're a great nurse, you know that you provide excellent care, and but when you're burned out, you know, you have a low quality of care. So that's the effect of nurse burnout to a nurse. Meanwhile, what patient care? When you experience a nurse burned out, that increase quality of care. Like what our nurse all said, we're not happy anymore. You feel tired, you just want to get over this. The 8 hour or the 12 hours. And like what our nurse all mentioned also earlier, there will be increased errors, medication errors, specimen collection errors, especially when you're so overwhelmed and burned out. Yes. And you have so many bosses and so many voices that you have to follow and listen to. And there will be a lower patient engagement. I'm here, I'm Anna, I'm gonna be your nurse. Okay, right or left, okay, that's it. Like, you are more transactional, right? Yeah. So there's no more empathy, there's no more
interpersonal
compassion.
Yeah, you lost your interpersonal skills already because it's just like another job for you, you know? It's just another job to do.
True. Remember when you were in a nursing school? Number one, to establish rapport, right?
So, correct.
But when you're burned out, none of those are happening now. You are more like transactional. I'm here for your IV insertion. I'm here for your blood collection. That's it. That's the effects of burnout. Meanwhile, on the healthcare system, there will be a high or an over rate. But for nurse call now, when I'm not traveling, that I'm a staff nurse, and I'm only been to my job for half a year, I must say there's a high turnover rate. Burnout nurses are more likely to leave their job, leading to staffing shortage, increased cost or recruitment, either a traveling nurse or an immigrant nurse, and training. Another one would be increased cost in terms of the hospital may face a higher operational cost, you know, due to staff calling out absenteeism or an over the need for hiring traveling nurses and strain resources. As more nurses experience burnout, the remaining nurses, you know, They will ask for more hours if a refund may entire workload or waiting the site of burnout. These are the effects of burnout in the healthcare system. So we really have to talk about it. This is not just one part of a nursing. I really do wish that from studying nursing, it must be included, aside from help a boy being exploited by a recruiting agency. I hope that, you know, mental health in nursing as a nurse student, then for a staff nurse, then burnout, must be included also. I mean, I believe we're also important because we are not only willing, especially those who have plans to pursue your American dream, because nurse burnout is real. It's not just a pace, you know, that it will go away on its own. We must acknowledge it and we must learn how to accept it. How about you, the nurse?
What was the question again, Anna?
No, we were discussing about the effects of nurse. I mentioned about the effects of nurse burnout on patient care and on the healthcare system.
Yeah, that one.
Turnover.
Yep. I got a little lost because I have a class after this, so a staff already texting me. But for patients, I put it this way, right? At the state of nursing today, I'm thinking, when I become the patient myself, when I'm 70 or 80, what kind of nurses are there going to be, right? Am I going to be happy with being taken care of a nurse that's fatigue and burnt out as well? I don't think so. You know what I mean? Because I've been there, done that. You know what I mean? I'll probably tell the younger nurse, you know, I've been nurse when I was 30 years old, 20 years old. At your stage, please take care of yourself. You know, so that's what I'm thinking. Like, what type of nurses are we going to have if nurses right now are burnt out and are acting like this in social media as well? Or are acting like this at work, or patients are becoming like this to them. What kind of younger generations are we training? And what kind of nurses are we going to have when we're actually the ones needing care at that point, right? Mm-hmm. When we're older adults. And then, of course, in the nursing side, we're going to lose more nurses. Here in the States, there's already shortage. And the question is it only the U.S. that has shortage? You can check International Council of Nurses to find out there's actually shortage everywhere, right? Because there's not going to be enough nurses to take care of all the sick people. Sick people are just going to increase as the complexity of diseases get worse over the years, right? As technology tries to catch up, there'll be more new diseases, more new complications for diseases. So we'll never catch up. It's just inherent like that, the complexity of healthcare. Mm-hmm. But the question is, are we going to have enough nurses, right? We never had enough nurses for many years. Mm-hmm. And yet we're still bleeding nurses. We're still losing them because they don't want to work anymore, right? And some of them will say, I just need a step back. You know, I just need a month off, but end up never returning as a nurse and tried another career. You can see this in social media where they're no longer a nurse. They're now an investor. They're now real estate. Mm-hmm. They're now in politics. They're now in different entire industry because they left nursing altogether. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. If we're going to lose more nurses, then how can we stop shortage, right? If we're going to lose more nurses because the root cause is fatigue and burnt out, then what are we doing about that?
Yes, you are all correct. I just want to mention Marvin. Hello, Marvin. One of our Lefora admin. Yes, travel every 3 months. But with Marvin, he travels every month, not 3 months. Oh, Marvin said, in California, we have mental health leave. Wow, we don't have that in New York. How about in Texas? Do you have mental health?
Not Texas.
Leave? Oh.
This ain't Texas. Ain't no Hold'em. I'm sorry. I'm a
Beyonce. Oh, hi, Beyonce. You need to calm down.
Okay, Taylor. This ain't Texas.
You gotta say it out, okay?
Tay and Bay.
Okay. Well, yes, those are the nice points. So Leslie, the partner of all. We're almost 10 a.m. now. Okay, lastly, we mentioned also this earlier. What are the strategies? What are the ways to prevent and manage your nerve burnout? Because this will happen, it's a cycle, it will not go away. So you have to manage it. So how will you manage it aside traveling?
For me, let me share ANA resources first. How to prevent nurse burnout. Can I do that? And then I'll share personally.
Yes. Sure, yes.
Rest. I think this is an underrated or maybe overrated comment, depending on how you define it. But nurses, get some rest, right? You know, Anna, it was funny because I shared something about pay salary, pay transparency in my social media, and so many nurses, more than 1,000 comments. I didn't expect that. Some of them are not nice, right? Some of them are like, oh, well, I earned that much, right? As a nurse, I didn't have to be an NP. But one of the respondents, I said, how many days do you work for to get that amount of money, right?
They said 24/7.
5 or 6 days a week, 12-hour shift. I wanted to tell this young nurse that I've been there, I did that, and I didn't last long. That's the thing, right? If I could be doing that for years, I would, but I didn't. So I feel bad for these nurses that have normalized burnt out, fatigue, overtime, and not resting, right? We all need rest. How can you take care of yourself and your patients without resting? I went through psychotherapy myself, and I feel like after psychotherapy, I've been a much better person. I have a counselor for 2 years, right? And she was brilliant. She was awesome. And that's one of the things she told me. You're burnt out, not only from your job as a nurse, but you personally from, you know, I'm a person who likes to take care of other people. You know, I have this complex where I'm a breadwinner for my mom. I take care of my people, my friends. I always feel like I'm burdened with making sure that everybody's cared for. You know, it's just inherent to me. And then my psychotherapist said, you need to rest. Because if you do not rest and you become burnout, then you cannot take care of yourself. You cannot take care of other people. You need to focus on yourself first. She actually made me realize that, you know, we grew up in a religious environment. I'm not practicing religion anymore, but selfishness is a sin. It was what was ingrained into my brain. You cannot be selfish. You always have to be selfless. You have to be giving more to people than to yourself.
Yeah.
You know what my psychotherapist told me? Yep. Say yes to everything, right? Being selfish is not bad, because if you don't focus on your own individual experience, your own rest, your own getting a mental break, right, you're not going to be able to function to the highest ability that you have. You cannot provide care to people. You cannot become the nurse that you want to be. So rest. Ask for help. Like I said, I went through psychotherapy, and that for me was helpful, right? Ask for help. There are professional counseling services. Marvin said they can have 1 to 3 months off and 10 consultations, therapist for free. So Marvin, I'm going to send you my CV later.
Me
about
too.
To move to California.
All of us.
Marvin, we need to talk. I'm just kidding. But ask for help. This is not, I'm not saying that asking for help is a sign of weakness. You know, that's what also my psychotherapist made me realize. It's not when you acknowledge that you're burnt out, that you already are having psychological issues. That is not weakness. That is actually strength, because you are trying to figure out and assessing yourself, and you are acknowledging the issue. You cannot treat something without knowing the problem, right? Ask for help. This is very important. Get exercise. Exercise doesn't have to be you weightlifting and joining the Olympics, right? To be a gold medalist, right? Exercise could be you walking for 30 minutes, getting your pace, right? You know what I like to do is, and I didn't like this growing up because I grew up poor. We didn't even have a bike. We only have one bike, and we have to share my whole siblings. So we all take turns. 15 minutes only. Minutes, that's all, right? But when I went here to Houston, well, not on summers because you can die here from heat exhaustion, but during fall and spring, I would rent a bike. I used to have a bike. I'd bike in the park, right? For 1 hour.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just enjoying the breeze, the trail. I like it. You know what I mean? And then I would do some hiking. I would work out in the gym. It could be, you know, just you walking around the park, right? Get exercise so you can get the circulation going, so you can remove that exhaustion from your body. Eat well, eat nutritiously, take a break. Big thing that I want to emphasize, take a break. Remember I told one of the nurse, Kuya, older brother, I think it's time to retire. Or I told one of my precepti, I said, or one of my friends I shared earlier, I think you need to use your PTOs because you haven't used PTOs for 2 years. You're losing money from that because they're not giving you more, right?
Yes.
But also, it's not even about you losing money from not getting PTO. You're also taking that ability for yourself to recuperate, to recover, right? Take a break, right? These are like such simple things to hear. Yeah, okay, I'll rest. Yeah, okay, I'll take a break. But are we honestly doing that, right? Let's not glorify working too much. Let's not glorify being sucked into nursing because pay is great. The more I work, the more I get paid, right? Let's not glorify working, providing low quality care, right? Let's not glorify burnout and compassion fatigue. It's time to talk about this and define it for ourselves, identify these signs and symptoms, and work out on strategies. For me, like I said, I always want to take a step back, right? You know what I like being an NP now, Anna, is, and this is me being biased as an NP. I feel like organizations care for NPs more than nurses. This is the truth, because I've only been an NP for as a year, all right, compared to nurses. You know why? Because we directly bring revenue to the company, to the organization. Every patient that I see, that we see, gets billed. If I'm not there, they lose one patient that I could see. Or in a day, if I see 30 patients, that's 30 patients they could not bill. But if I'm there, I could bill. So they want me happy, right? They give me these perks that as a nurse, I didn't even get. Simple as parking lot exclusive for me, for NPs, for providers, right? Simple as giving me gift cards for Amazon every quarter, you know what I mean? Or giving me free food or giving me this little perks. But as a nurse, I didn't experience that. I probably get a bag every nursing
week. You got pizza.
Once a year, right? Pizza, right? But I never really felt appreciated that level, right? And that's because I directly contribute to the revenue. As a nurse, we're, we're expenses for our facilities, right? They pay us to be a nurse. And so they don't appreciate us because they can just hire someone who they can pay much lower. If you've been there for 20 years, they can just fire you and hire somebody newer that they would pay $10 hour less, right? Something like that. So and because there's no union, not like Marvin is living in California,
Bubble Rock, yep.
And all that. So, but guys, it's time to apply these things and take a step back. Use those PTOs. This is what I like about NP, because I have more PTOs than I had when I was in nursing. So every 4 to 6 weeks, I get a PTO at least a day or maybe a whole week and do something, you know? Like, I need to step back so I can come back better. That's what I said. So that's one of my strategies. If I feel burnt out already, I need a trip. It doesn't matter if I have to drive or something, but I need to be somewhere out of work, you know, not thinking about job, totally not you know, doing anything about work or not being bothered by work, but doing something else, right? Outside nursing. But that's it. I need to take a step back. How about you, Anna? What do you do personally?
Well, aside from, I love music, even if I'm not a good singer and I'm a Filipino. I love music, so I love concerts. But when I was in the Philippines, I am even an org on a regional, you know, singing about, or I always burn a yoga apple, or you remember those times. So now, me and my husband, since we were born in the same year, 1982, and my husband is also a nurse. Let me share, one time he told me, Jaime, I think I'm getting burned out. I was like, how would you say that? Because he worked in medical surgical, and most of his clients or patients are, you know, some of them are homeless, or most of them are homeless, and they have a grudge of problem. And at one point, he told me, I feel like there's just a number for me that I have to insert IV, that I have to give ultrasound grid, that I have to, you know, send to the x-ray. So he went to traveling nursing. He went to traveling nursing after pandemic, just to take a break from, you know, the client, the treatment of the hospital, the micromanagement. And like what you said, it's sad when you reach to that point that you won't care anymore and you lose that. So now our relaxation to prevent that, aside from him, from being a traveling nurse, we go to the concert, we spend weekly money for that. And the partner of all, you're also a fur parent. Having a dog or a cat at home
yes.
helped me a lot. Helped me a lot.
Because that is true.
I have to walk them, and then I have to groom them, and then I have to play with them, and they're always happy and excited to see me, even if they just woke up. Meanwhile, at work, everyone is not happy. So, comfort, music, having a fur or baby or a dog or a cat, those are my relaxation techniques. And I'm not traveling anymore. I will commit to a lot of requests now. Before, I have a long list what to do. Now I minimize them. Only three lists a day, and I don't say yes all the time now. For you as a nurse, especially you go for a newly arrived immigrant, I know you're hustling. I know you need to send money back home. I know you have to pay your bills. We've been there, me and the partner, all. We were once in your place. But please don't wait for the time that you're burned out emotionally, physically, and mentally. Take care of yourself, because we've got a long way to go to work. At some point, you will realize that. And I'm not a religious or a spiritual person, but listening to all the books or a prayer or a call or listening to, you know, my Spotify, the owner's call, aside from BNP podcast, Taylor Swift, and you're gonna hear a religious call, Catholic call, and I was like, my daughter, mom, you sound so weird. But those are the things that can help me. Find something that can help you. Movie, music, or audible, or ebook, or cooking, or once in a while I go out with my friends. And like you guys, the partners call this BNE helps me put my feet on the ground, prevent from burnout, while helping immigrant nursing. So go for the way, there are so many ways. And if you're a you have a new job, look into your HR. Maybe they have a service like EAP. I hope they have something like Marvin have in California. Wow, 3 months of mental break. And you can always earn the money, but you cannot always get back the earth, health state of your mental and physical. If you need a break, take a break. If you need to cry, cry. And I also journal, the partner's call. I still journal. I have diary. I write everything. So whatever can make you happy. Like I have a great day at war or I have a bad day at war. Just to help you choose your battles. Take care of yourself. And always listen to our podcast. BNP a lot, right? The partner's call. I know right, if Kay right. is only here, she will share numbers again. Oh, right, I read right. this earlier. You know, the number one state who experience nurse burnout is Arizona. Hmm. Arizona.
What is it, Arizona?
I love the journal that I was reading this morning. But I'm going to send the link in one of the comments. And the next is like New Jersey and Oregon or Portland is Texas, I think.
And guys, of course, if you want to share your stories about burnout or even about positive experiences mm-hmm. about being a nurse, or you want to share your personal stories, a story that a patient has shared to you without divulging confidential information, or mm-hmm. even things that you want to talk about or you want to be invited live, we would love to have you in the show. Please send me an email at info@drnursepaul.com. I would love to invite you, Anna and Kay. We would love to host you here. We would love to talk about your experience personally, because at the end of the day, this is an immigrant nursing podcast. So we would love to invite immigrant nurses. Unfortunately,
we
Marvin
have new and, idea.
Yes, Marvin and Nurse One are not able to join us because they're also busy, but they will be joining us in future shows as well. All right. But okay. Anna, what's your last words of encouragement for our nurses who are experiencing burnout?
Well, encouragement will be love yourself. As a nurse, we are patient advocate, right? I always say this. But please advocate your health, if only emotionally and mentally. Because at the end of the day, if something happens to you, it's a ripple effect. As a nurse, especially if you're a parent and you have kids not relying on you, be advocate of yourself. And thank you to Gossip Robert. Hello, number one, and Anna and go for Nurse Paul. And Kay, we miss you. Go for my encouragement. Please, please acknowledge if you're experiencing it. Ask for help. Go for Nurse Paul mentioned a lot of great things, resources, signs and symptoms, and ways to prevent combat your being a burnout. Just be honest to yourself. If you feel this, ask for a help. We're not invisible. I know nursing is a noble profession, but you must love yourself first before you love others. Create the life you want, okay?
Right, right.
How about you, before Nurse Paul?
That's, for me, I think I've shared plenty today, but for me, it's all about taking care of yourself, like Anna said, love yourself. But nurses, it is high time to understand that we could not provide care if we are not taking care of ourselves first, all right? We need to be at a mental state where we are able to provide compassion with empathy. Mm-hmm. And that requires for us to identify things that can affect this level of compassion and providing care. So make sure that you guys are taking care of yourselves, get those rest, exercise, therapy that you need, you know, step back if you need to. And let's not normalize working with burnt out and compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. Let's normalize nurses taking a step back to prioritize their mental health. And for me, that's everything. All right. And Anna, let's invite them to our show next week. Sorry, Anna.
Okay. First week of August, Sunday. I might not be here in the US. I might be somewhere else, but I'm still going to be in VIP. I'm so excited. I'm going to share that for you guys next week. So, next week, our 42nd episode.
42.
I'm still disbelieved that we are on our 42nd episode. One hot topic because of retrogression. I know you've been getting a lot of messages, questions, comments about H-1B visa or nurses. H-1B visa or nurses, very hot topic, especially now when it's retrogression. Is it good? Bad? Is it beneficial to me? So if you want to find out more about this, don't miss August 18th, Sunday, 8 a.m. Central Time. And you know, if you're in the Philippines, it's going to be evening. Episode 42. And I think a play will be available that day, right? Or for you
Could
and
be.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and H-1B visa or nurses, August 18th.
Yes. And of course, Anna, I would also like to plug Tap Tap Send is my favorite money transfer app.
Me too.
And you know what I like about Tap Tap Send, Anna, is they have zero transfer fees. And for me, that's important. Yeah. Anna's about to share her screen. Let's see how much she's sending to her family. But zero transfer fees. Yes, one of the fastest transfers out there, and I've tried that already. You can send money directly to your family, particularly to my Filipino followers. And high exchange rate. Anna, I've already tried multiple apps, and for me, TapTapSend is the only transfer money app that I trust. This is Dr. Nurse Paul approved. Checked. And please use my code DNP, Anna, It's if you use my code DNP, you get $20 bonus on your first transfer using TapTap Send download in iOS and Android. And also, Anna, this Tuesday, I'm going to do live Q&A for my followers and social media. And this is sponsored by InspireRN and TapTap Send. The good thing, Anna, is if you join my live Q&A, you will win an NCLEX course during the raffle in the live show. So please join me. I can answer your questions to the best that I can, especially for my immigrant nurse followers and nurses here in the U.S. I would love to collaborate with you live. I will talk about NCLEX job offers, visa options, and our favorite topic.
All in one.
The visa bulletin just came out. Retrogression, right? Ask me your questions. Yep. I'll answer it. Live Q&A. We're going to have a raffle. You're going to win an NCLEX course this Tuesday, August 13th, same time, 8 a.m. Central Time, live streamed in my Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I'll see you guys.
Bye, everyone. Have a great Sunday. Thank
you. We'll see you guys next week.